This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Atatula.
Yeah, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. John Lopez, Figgy Fig, and Reginald Atatula hanging out with you. Texans practicing again today, as they frequently will on a week heading into a game. They will have Sunday Night Football at NRG Stadium versus the Lions. That is who they are gearing up for. They're gearing up without some of the major people that you are dealing with. The big ones that we've been waiting on. Mm-hmm. Nico Collins, Will Anderson Jr. Neither of them practicing today.
Yeah, look, I'm hesitating here because I can't imagine this offense without Nico Collins against Detroit's defense. That's you can probably look. You don't want to, but you can probably make do with Will Anderson on the defensive side. It's a good squad. You got Autry that can go outside.
Autry will go outside.
You've got some guys that are coming back elsewhere, but no Nico. I mean, that sort of narrows down the possibilities for this offense.
100%. Especially because there's something that he does incredibly well. Like especially I can't remember who was tweeting about this, but against cover one, cover three, those kind of you know, middle closed defenses, like he can really attack them deep and, you know, feel comfortable like getting some deep shots off there. Plus, like with his fluidity, with his smoothness and his speed, you can get the ball to him quickly and like get, you know, yards after catch is huge. And that's something that he's capable of. Something that this Texas team hasn't done very well, is getting the ball out into space and letting them, you know, go get yards. Those screens, they don't execute well unless it's Nico Collins, right? Like he almost has that Joe Mixon like quality of whether it's the, you know, the play is going well or not, he can kind of make it good. And in addition to that, the one that always comes to mind, I can't remember if it was Xavier Hutchinson running a slant that he just could not use his body to fully protect the play, and it got batted down. That doesn't happen with Nico Collins. So some of the quick game stuff, I imagine, would be a lot easier.
That's it to me. That's it. The big body, being able to leverage players and stretch the field. And that's the other thing. Like, so if you're looking at like, okay, where are the Lions susceptible? They're ranked pretty low in yards per catch against, you know, yards per attempt against. They can be had with longer plays. Otherwise, you know, they're pretty strong. Run defense can maybe be a little bit iffy for them sometimes. But with no Nico, you're talking about Tank. You know, here we go. We were talking about it last week. Tank got to step up. He did. Okay, do it again, because Joe Mixon needs some help with the play action, with the passing game.
Yeah, but the way it's looking, the likelihood is if you're reading the tea leaves that are the practice reports.
Yeah.
That Nico Collins probably does not return for this one.
Right.
The cursed hamstring, man. It's the worst of those soft tissue issue injuries, and it just continues to rear its ugly head, in particular in this instance with wide receiver Nico Collins. All right, let's go back a day and go to the assembled media getting to sit down and talk to both C.J. Stroud and head coach of this team, D'Amico Ryans. I thought that there were some really interesting things that came out of this one, and I'd like to start with D'Amico Ryans, because one of the big things that this team has dealt with, second halves, mm-hmm. they just have not scored consistently or well in the second half. Even in the games that they have looked that they looked better in, not to say that they looked good or great in earlier in the season, but the games that they looked better in, those were games in which you got out early, and then in the second half, you know, maybe wasn't so good, and you had the defense just kind of stand their ground to help you get wins. And so D'Amico Ryans was asked, what is it that's preventing this Texas team from executing and finishing games?
Yeah, man, we've been in every game we've talked about, we've been in the games. We just, you know, people, I guess it's this narrative like we just not a good team. But we've been in games, we just haven't made the plays that, you know, it's not from a matter of, you know, effort and those things. It's a matter of being on the details, and that's what the league is about. The team who are on the details, especially in those critical moments. Talk about third down, red zone, like a situational ball. When you're on it and you're able to make those plays, that's winning football, right? We've been on the back end of that. When we haven't won games, we haven't played well on third down, we haven't played well in the red zone, offensively and defensively. So when you win those situations, you put yourself in a good spot to win games. So when I talk about executing and playing well, it's executing in those critical moments is what we have and done when we've lost games.
Ooh, and you can just really kind of sense the growing frustration, even for D'Amico. He's trying to play it straight and cordial and all that stuff, but you can just sense it. And that's why, you know, they have struggled in the second half. I mean, he's not denying that. It's just, you know, getting close and getting over the top and making the detailed things right, as he talked about. But there's frustration over there because they know that this you can't make a living doing like that.
No, absolutely not. I mean, they did a lot of making a living off of third and long and just making things shake there. Like, that's something that you absolutely can't live in. Mm-hmm. And I appreciated D'Amico giving us a little bit more specificity on this than he has in some other instances. And, you know, highlighting, hey, the third and long, right? And he's mentioned this before. I'm not trying to say that this is brand new, but getting yourself into those situations in third and long and coming back to it being attention to detail.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right? Like that notion. It is frustrating, though, I will say, that attention to detail continues to be the thing over a long stretch of time, right? Because you're right. It has been a lack of attention to detail. But at what point is it like, hey, nut up or shut up time, right? Like, hey, let us now officially get these details correct, because it has consistently been those details that have harmed you.
Yeah, and I totally agree, because I'm sitting there thinking, okay, you know, here we go, you know, into week 10, you know, and still worried about attention to detail. Is there's an issue there. Like, these are professional athletes that have done this before. Like, what is the issue and how do you fix it? Because we're getting late in the game here.
And professional coaches watching these films and creating these 100%. Game plans, understanding that maybe the attention to detail isn't there later in these games. Not that you can, like, force these players to get there, but that is, in theory, the job of coaches to help them be the best versions of themselves. And I did take a little issue with the idea that, oh, man, there's a narrative that we're not a good team. No, that's exactly why we're mad, is because we know that you can be a good team and you're not putting that on tape. On the 5-hour energy fan line, this text comes in. I'm interested in what you think, Lopez. They said, what do you think of the Texans' ability to adjust at halftime from a coaching standpoint?
Look, I think halftime adjustments, and I'm doing the air quote sign, are vastly overrated. Like, incredibly overrated. They're adjusting all game long to what they're seeing. They've got the tablets on the sideline. Halftime is hydrate, get whatever needs to be worked on, taped, you know, all that good stuff, and maybe a thought or two of what you're going to do. NFL halftimes are only 12 minutes long, and the clock starts as soon as the half ends. So they got to walk to the, you know, locker room and do whatever they're going to do and walk back out and start warming up. Halftime adjustments is used way too liberally, and it's vastly overrated.
And I think that the bigger question then is not about halftime itself, but
it's
the
adjustments.
The idea of adjustments, purely.
Yes.
And I think this is where specifically Bobby has a lot of a lot of growth, or at least I don't know if it's really growth, but just he's got a lot to show us, because those questions have persisted for 9 weeks. And we're not getting enough of the passing grades that you would imagine or that you would hope from a guy that has gotten as much love as Bobby Slowick has. I want to go to C.J. Stroud. C.J. Stroud had some really interesting perspectives. There was plenty more with the D'Amico. I'd encourage you, if you have time, to go and listen to D'Amico. I know that the Texans have that streamed live on their YouTube. But C.J. Stroud was asked, have you been able to get with any of your offensive linemen and try and figure out the problems.
Yeah, you know, I had a lot of great conversation with him, and, you know, I believe, you know, that sometimes it takes getting hit in the mouth and maybe getting hit in the mouth multiple times to wake up. And, I believe that, you know, this is a wake-up call for us and get things fixed. And, you know, understand, like, man, if we give ourselves a shot and we stay in the green, like, we move the ball really well. We just, you know, got to finish. We got to be able to lose those one bad plays in a drive or those two bad plays or the penalties. You know, it's always something. So if we can get rid of that, I believe that, you know, we can really be a great football team. And we already are, man. We're a really good football team. Like, there's no time to hang our heads down. It ain't that bad. Like, we gonna figure it out for sure.
It ain't that bad. But in the context of that, in the midst of that,
mm-hmm.
He's talking about the linemen themselves.
Sure.
Like, he's not like, he is saying, I gotta do better. I gotta make adjustments. We have to do, but he's saying, you know, one bad play and, you know, playing better and all that. He's talking about those dudes right there. So I hope he has had those conversations and been as direct. And I think he has. And sort of like, guys, you know, we all have to play better. You guys got to play better. Yeah, they flat out. I mean, it comes down to that. All this talk about Bobby Slowick and adjustments and protections and all that. You know, why the heck do you think they got all these guys that they're putting on the practice squad? Because they're trying to find someone that's better.
Yeah, well, and
I don't know if they're going to find it there.
Yeah, I don't think that's going
to
ultimately.
But they're trying to find answers.
Right. It speaks to a lack of comfort with what they have gotten production-wise from the offensive line. And anybody with eyes can see that this has not been sufficient for what you're trying to do, what you're trying to get accomplished, which is blocking it up.
Yeah.
And allowing your really good young quarterback to find your really good wide receiving core for yards and opportunities to win and put points on the board. And so, yeah, I appreciated this, especially because earlier this week we were kind of pondering, you know, how much does CJ, you know, kind of get in there and express some of that leadership in those ways, right? Of like actually going and maybe. Accountability is such a weird word because it's used really loosely, and I don't know that sometimes we could use it to a point where it loses its meaning some ways, but like really be in there and kind of one, encourage, we know, but also two, like, you know, kind of put guys to the holds guys' feet to the fire.
You know why why I liked it the most was I was kind of turned off by we all have to play better from Tuesday or Wednesday that D'Amico was talking about. Because he's like, we all have to play better, and we know that already. In fact, I said that. You know, we know that everybody has to play, but it is about the offensive linemen. And in the context of what CJ said, he said that, he goes, it is on the offensive linemen to either get better or figure it out.
All right, a text that comes in on the 5-hour Energy fan line. It's not as frustrating as it is with y'all. They know they're a young team still growing. Y'all in the media do the most for a story. Look, I understand where you're coming from, but like this ain't about creating a story. Like this ain't really about that. This is about seeing a team and what a team that's capable and of doing certain things, right?
Yeah.
Like I think like liken this to being a parent, and seeing the report card that comes home and being like, yeah, I got a B. All right, cool, you got a B, but you're an A caliber student.
Yeah.
Right? Like,
that's so good.
That's the feeling, Dad. Right?
Mom?
Like, and 281, if you're a parent, I feel like you understand and you feel that feeling, right? The idea of, yeah, okay, you're learning, you're developing, but even with that learning and developing, how many times did we hear that, okay, we got this win, but there's still some things to clean up? And those things did not get cleaned up, right? Mm-hmm. We can use those exact words if we're going to use the parent metaphor again about, hey, you come into your kid's room and you're like, hey, clean up the room.
Yeah.
You walk back in the next day and the room looked the same. Hey, clean up the room. After a few days, you're going to get done with that, right?
Exactly.
And I think that's ultimately the frustration. It really is. It's not fully just being angry. It is a feeling of, you can do better than this. I'm upset because I believe in this team and what they have available to them. If they just reach the goals that they have for themselves.
Well, and let me answer it very, very directly.
Okay.
When he says it's not as frustrating as it is with y'all. It is. It is. You can hear it in their voices. Anybody who's been spends any time at all around this team can sense the frustration. You heard Andy Kalu talking about it, who's been in those locker rooms and knows these situations, says they are frustrated. And oh, by the way, they know they're a young team and still growing. We didn't bring in Stephon Diggs. We didn't bring in, you know, Joe Mixon and Azeez Al-Shaair and D'Anico Autry and pay Titus Howard. They did, because they don't think they're just a young team and still growing. They thought they were going to be a contender. So, yeah, you can put it on us or fans or outside media or whatever. They're frustrated because they're saying we're not just a young team and still growing. They're saying it with their actions.
One more before we move on here. And thank you, dear texter, for texting in. I'm not trying to bang on you, just trying to interact. I found this the way that CJ Stroud responded to this to be, I don't know, insightful in some ways. And maybe this is a sign of frustration as well. I'll let you tell me. But he was asked if wide receiver Tank Dell is getting back to the player that we saw during last season.
Yeah, I don't believe, you know, even last year. Like, this is week 10 in you know, 2024. So we got to let that go. And we got to, you know, go play this year. And I thought, you know, every week he's been open. You know, we just got to find time to get it to him. And I got to throw the right ball to get it to him. So, you know, he's going to continue to do great.
It felt like you could easily just be like, yeah, he's starting to look like that guy last year. Because that would be like, he is, first of all, that is true. And secondly, that's inherently a good thing. I found it interesting, and maybe this is the wisdom that Andy Kalu was talking about with, you know, the starting quarterback of this team. The idea of, hey, no, we're not doing the comparison to last year. That's fine. What we are is what we're doing right now. And so we don't even need to compare, even in the good ways, to last year. We need to just be the best versions of ourselves now.
I did like that as well. I thought CJ did quite well. That's why we wanted to let the listeners hear this, because that is a leadership quarterback right there. Man, last year's last year. We need him now. We need him now to consistently do what we've seen. What we saw against the Jets.
Yeah, and there was a lot of moments that I didn't play again, but we played it earlier. The idea of just like need to have more fun out there. It just feels like there's a level of perspective that we know CJ Stroud is big in his faith, that clearly some of that factors in, but just wise beyond his years. It gives me a little bit of confidence, especially with the concern that people have had, including people in this room, right, about the idea that, oh, this pressure is going to break him in some ways, right, whether physically or even worse, like mentally in some
ways. Andy Kalu said he did think of David Carr.
And this is how the quarterback of this team responds. A young second-year quarterback is operating with good perspective, and there's pictures right now of him talking to a guest at practice, Tony Dungy, Super Bowl-winning head coach. So, you know, those are the types of things that you imagine can only help what's happening. And for him, particularly with the amount of, you know, pressure that's on his shoulders, responsibility that's on his shoulders, it makes you feel that much more confident that he's going to handle it well. And he's going to need to, as this is a Detroit Lions team that's coming into us, NRG Stadium on Sunday night, as a very, very good one. All right, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Appreciate you hanging out with us on this Thursday. We mentioned no Nico Collins, no Will Anderson Jr., at practice today. That kind of puts in doubt the possibility that they'll play on Sunday, but we'll get you more information as it arises from practice. Coming up next, let's get to our lunchtime confessions, which are brought to you by Sagamore Spirit Rye Whiskey. We'll do those next.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Sometimes it's sports, sometimes it's not. Whatever it is, Reggie and John are keeping it real. It's In the Loop's Lunchtime Confessions, brought to you by Sagamore Spirit Rye Whiskey.
Sometimes it boggles my mind why people don't see what's right in front of them. And you know who I'm talking about? Ray Gunn.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Calvin Cato.
Well, that too. Calvin Cato, he was good. He was a different kind of guy, but good. Ray Gunn, the Olympic breaking legend. You know, remember her, Figgy?
Legend.
Get out of here.
Yeah.
Legend. She's retired from breaking.
Ah, after the long story career.
But here we go. Salute. Yes, that's what I'm talking about. She
screwed up.
Do you realize?
God bless her.
Wait, what did she screw up? I want to understand where you're.
This
coming
is
from
where
here.
My confession. I think
she did the right thing.
I think there is no way, no how, she should have ever retired. Do you realize how much money she could have made as an NBA halftime show?
Oh, that would not have happened.
Oh, for sure she would have made it. No. She'd have been as big as Red Panda.
Oh, absolutely. No, that's slanderous. What? Red Panda is an actual artiste.
Yeah, and so's Raygun.
No.
Mm-mm. No, but here's the thing. People would have loved watching her at NBA halftime.
She did her scam already.
Do her breaking.
And now she's getting out.
But
now
they would have watched it ironically. They would have watched it comically.
She is retired because her scam has been unveiled, right?
She could have... Every arena in the NBA would have paid her money.
I don't think so.
Hell yes. Ain't would you no have way. Watched Raygun at a halftime? 713-572-46.
Don't get on here lying.
The answer
don't
is
get on. Don't get on the 5-hour energy fan line lying. Do not get out here and disparage stand the fan.
Yeah.
And 5-hour energy by lying about watching no Raygun on this text line. I swear, fans would have loved.
It would have made all the highlight shows. Oh, halftime of Spurs Rockets, Raygun put on a show, and she's doing all that funky crap that she does.
Nah, she scammed her way to the Olympics.
And she could have kept scamming.
Why are you encouraging scamming?
Because there's money to be made out there, brother.
Unbelievable. Somebody said I'd watch one. I am doing more understanding of my relationship to the passing of time, or like my relationship to the passing of time. Mm-hmm. And I'm not gonna say like, oh, this is how I know I'm old. That's not really it, but I'm getting a better understanding. Like, oh, okay, this is how these things feel. Mm-hmm. And one of those, this is something that I started already getting an idea, but it was crystallized once more last night. Ja Morant is an incredible athlete. We're not talking about that other thing, but like on the court, just. Incredible athlete.
He know how to shoot.
Yeah.
Well,
wow.
All right.
Oh,
all right,
wow.
Fine. I'm talking about a jumper. Mm-hmm. He know how to shoot.
And when you think of Ja Morant, the first thing you think about is a jumper, right? The first thing you think about is leaping ability, which he has in spades. And he did that last night, except he took a big fall. Mm-hmm. And it sent him to the locker room. And those are my worst feelings, like, confirmed. Because anytime I see, like, leapers, mm-hmm. my instant reaction is not amazement anymore. It is concern.
Yes.
It is like... Ooh, land softly. Mm-hmm. Don't hurt your knees.
You watch too much Anthony Davis. That's what that is.
Man,
every time that brother fall, I'll be like, oh.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay? Dude, like, that happens all the time.
Yeah. Derrick Rose, we saw a lot of just that leap ability and then the landing. We saw how that
Wade perfected it.
Yeah. Where you saw all of that impact taken on knees.
Oh,
and
he's
all those
limping
things.
Bad.
Yeah.
I don't know how these guys stand up after him.
Yeah.
Like, consistently, I don't know how they get up.
They ain't no soft floor.
No, they're not. They're literally called hardwood floors. Yeah. And so, yeah, that for me, I realized, okay, like I have my relationship with time has taken me to a place where I no longer am just amazed by, yo, this is incredible that humans are taking flight in this way. And now I'm like, please land soft.
Yeah,
don't hurt yourself.
Yeah, that looked like it hurt. Just imagine if I told you this to just jump up in the air and fall on the ground.
Yeah.
Crazy. Oh,
you got to get up and run full speed too. Play defense.
That's right. Like it's incredible. Yeah. Just when you break down a lot of the sports things that are happening and you make them simple. Like, hey, offensive line is get in this 3-point stance and just hold it, and then until we tell you to go, and then when you go, you got to stop a 300-pound person who runs sub 5:40. Yeah. From doing stuff.
Or the cornerbacks run backwards and stop this athlete from running full speed
exactly.
at you.
Exactly.
It's wild.
Yeah.
But yes, I am no longer in the immediate amazement on leapers. I am like, please, please be safe.
Yeah. Watch this. These
are my confessions. So I'm not down with people trying to scam other people and stuff.
Unlike
like that
certain people in here.
Wouldn't have been a scam.
Yeah. So I'm not down with that, but I love a good celebrity that gets hacked on social media, man.
Oh, I know who
like,
you're talking
about. Just like a good funny hack. So Skip Bayless got hacked.
He sure did.
I'm not sure if he got his account back. But I would just read this timeline, and I'm gonna read some of the tweets this person said. So clearly he is hacked because this tweet said, "I just want to apologize to LeBron." He owns me. I'm just the old, I don't know if I should
bad
say
words,
that.
Bad words. Yeah.
who has nothing going on with his life.
Wow.
I'm sorry, King LeBron. So clearly he was hacked right there.
I knew he was hacked the first five words.
Yeah. I just want to apologize to LeBron.
Well, I mean, you probably could stop that. I just want to apologize. How many times has that happened?
First three words.
The next tweet said, Ninja can't even get his Twitter back. What a R word, LOL. Yeah. It's been hours and I'm bored as bleep.
Mm-hmm.
And this ninja has not gotten his account back. This is crazy.
Well, it's like, I saw that and I was like, you know, you could just log off, right? Like,
yeah.
He's like, I have to stay here until the police get here. Like, no, you can just leave.
Yeah, just out.
You can just leave.
And this is my favorite right here. This is the next tweet. By the way, Skip talks to escorts in his Twitter DMs.
That's crazy.
I do think he's really lonely and needs some soul searching.
Poor guy. This is the real psychological warfare. Because whether he does or not, we're never going to be able to wipe that off of his.
Yeah. Nah,
you're always going to have that in the back of your mind that maybe, just maybe, he'd be out here DMing escorts.
Yeah. Hey, don't nobody care about the truth. The lie's more entertaining.
Always.
Poor guy. But I like that type of stuff.
Now, that's a funny one. So,
yeah, like, if you're trying to scam PlayStations and all that stuff, click this link, and you'll get a... I'm not cool with that.
Yeah,
but
that's
when
you're
just doing stuff like this, man, I get a good laugh out of it. Watch this.
You know, normally if I walked into the studio, this studio where we're broadcasting.
Oh, no.
Yeah, why are you sitting right there, man?
I'm sitting across from Reggie. Just hold on. And the microphone to my right is in two pieces. The microphone across from me, the zip ties broke again, and that one I can't use. Normally, you know, I'd come in, I'd be like, put out, kind of bothered. But I'm not. Because I know, you know, Odyssey is a great company, and I know they couldn't possibly be, you know, focusing all their resources somewhere else on this floor, right?
All right.
ISO!
You are on your own lonesome. I would not have gone here at all.
I mean, when something happens in a studio, we have a great crew. Y'all are all backing away.
Clear out! let them cook.
ISO!
Cowards. ISO! I'm working with a couple of cowards right now because we have a great crew.
You want the land, go ahead and take it.
Yeah, come on, LeBron Lopez.
All of them. Like Colin, I mean, just go down the list, you know, Aaron, all of them. They're great. Andy is a legend. So I'm not really bothered because I know, you know, they would be here immediately and they're not going to focus, the company's not going to focus any resources anywhere else on this floor, right? So they'll get here as soon as they can.
They already gave you an answer as to why this is the way it is.
Right,
come
guys?
On, come on, explain what's going on, man.
You with me?
Mm-mm, not at all. You on your lonesome. I just got basketball takes to get off in this segment. I don't know what you're doing right now.
Hey, the microphone in here, good.
Is
so
it?
I'm good.
Yeah,
I got hoops take. That's all I got.
One out of three microphones is working right here where I usually sit, so that's okay.
Hey, that's all that matters,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, that's all right.
Unbelievable. Watch this. These are my confessions. I don't fully understand Big Vic's shot selection. Victor Wembanyama and the Spurs were in town.
They're talking a lot about that.
Yeah, they were in town, and he is the latest in this evolution of just like alien monsters, if you will, in the NBA, where you just got this dude that's big,
mm-hmm.
but also has guard skills. Like, obviously, KD is the dude who has perfected this to the highest level, at least that we've seen. And the idea is, well, maybe Victor Wembanyama can do even more.
Mm-hmm.
What's tough is like he's being guarded with like wings players. Dylan Brooks is one of these guys, but other teams are doing similar things where they're guarding him with. And it's just like, I understand he's not super strong yet. He added a good amount of muscle over the offseason, but like he's not the dude who's just going to back somebody down. And I'm not sure if you want to. Like, I don't know if that's analytically the best way of going about it. But also analytically, I don't know if this best thing is him jacking up these threes out here. Like, you too damn
tall.
Well,
that's what they want him to do. That's what you answered your own question. Well, I mean, they're defending him with the smalls because they want him.
Well, yeah.
You know, they want him to
shoot.
Which
is, all right, cool. But like the whole idea of sports is, hey, I understand what you want me to do and I'm going to go impose my will in some ways. And I'm not like, the idea of being able to shoot will be incredibly good for him, right? Because it makes
and
it
he
so
is
that
a good shooter.
You begin picking your poison. Yeah. But that being the preference.
But he hasn't been a good shooter.
I don't understand that, right? Like, you got to start by making this real tough inside. And then, you know what I mean? When people are like, oof, we can't deal with that, you need to get out there. And then you whip the you know what. With these shots out here as well. It just feels like there's not enough.
You should just post up those little dudes.
Yeah, I mean, and give I hate to be ball, that guy. I sound like Shaq and Charles.
Yeah. We just, you know, you just need to dominate.
Right? Like, I'm not trying to do that, but, like, it does feel like, what's the point in being 7 foot 37 if you're just going to be out here on the perimeter and letting people get away with it? Now you got to go and pose.
No, I agree.
And 713 says, remember, Wemby is Ralph Sampson, and I feel like even Ralph was a little bit more aggressive. I know that
the game was different, and he had to be down on the block a lot.
Yeah,
more.
I know that people kind of gave him the, kind of talked to him about him maybe being a little soft or whatever, not wanting to be down there. Mm-hmm. But at least he could give you that, and you're right, the game was different. Yeah. My thing about it is, like, you got to at least start there before we head out here, because, again, what is the point of being so damn tall if you just don't let people off the hook? Watch this.
These are my confessions. Man, I'm a little disappointed because, so today my wife is working, she's working out in Baytown, and she was going to meet up with some friends out there for dinner, and so I'm like, cool, I could go somewhere where I want to go.
You're darn right you
go
can.
Go on my own. Well, them plans got changed.
Oh, no, so what happened?
Dinner got canceled, somebody wasn't feeling good, so she hit me up and said, you know what? We can have dinner together now. So I'm like, oh man.
Ah, your personal time just got eaten.
Yeah, man. I'm just like, man, I kind of just want to go on my own, man. Because it's some spots I can't go to with her because she's not a fan of these spots.
Ah.
So she's not a seafood person.
Yeah.
Ooh, that's tough.
Yeah, so.
You know what's weird? I mean, that's a whole topic. But what's weird about what you're saying? Like, when your better half says, I'm just going to go spend some time with some friends and have dinner. You don't even blink, right?
Nope.
If you said the exact same thing to her,
I want to go.
I just want to go out. I just want to go out with some buddies or go by myself. What's going on?
Yeah.
What are you doing?
For some reason, women.
What's her name?
Yeah. For some reason, whenever women take off, they think you, like, they want you to do something.
Yes.
But soon as you like, hey, you know what? I'm gonna go out on my own. Mm-hmm. Then it's always an issue. It's like, man, like, you know how many times, like, you take off, I just go home and chill.
Yeah.
And just be by myself. Like, I'm not having a party at this house.
Exactly.
I'm not calling nobody. I'm literally sitting here doing nothing.
Mm-hmm. One more quick confession here. You two are a bunch of cowards.
Why?
You two are a couple of cowards.
What happened?
What happened? You know why.
My microphone worked. I don't know what you're talking about.
Throwing me out on that island. Hell, you're dropping me on the island and keep flying.
Wait, hold on. You acting what? Like
you drove to the island.
That's what I'm saying. You acting like we loaded up the plane.
No, what you did was you told us to get in the car. You drove us to this island we didn't want to go to.
My confession was, I'm not worried. I'm not upset.
We not getting out this car.
Because I know it's a high priority here. I know it. It's got to be, right?
I mean, it's working for me.
Reggie, you, what about you? Hey, you having problems with your mic?
I'm doing great here.
Hey, I'm not having problems with my mic.
My problems are ones that I brought in the door with me. I don't know what you're talking about. But those are our lunchtime confessions. And again, we will leave Lopez out to dry once more. Appreciate you guys hanging out with us on this Thursday. It is In the Loop. Coming up next, let's do our what's become a Thursday staple, a little buy or sell. Are you buying or selling what these various people in sports are trying to give to you? We'll do that next.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Atitula.
You're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Let's go ahead and do a little buy or sell. The way that this goes is John compiles various people in sports, and I guess every once in a while outside of sports.
Yeah, every once in a while.
And, you know, whenever somebody's talking, they're always trying to sell you a little bit of something, right?
Mm-hmm.
Are you buying or are you selling it? Lopez, what we got?
All right, let's start with the one that has been, you know, pretty newsworthy here in these parts. Nick Caserio said the trade deadline is much ado about nothing. He said let's start with that. Now, we've talked about it, but are you buying that he believes that the trade deadline is much ado about
that
nothing?
That he believes that?
That he believes that, Figgy?
I'm buying it, man. I'm buying it. I think we know Nick Caserio for being, I don't want to say aggressive, but I guess he finds this spots to be aggressive and check in on stuff. So I think he telling the truth there, man.
The tough part about it is trying to get in his head and see if he believes that. But just on a general, like, notion of, you know, and I want to be careful because I don't want to make it seem like that's definitely what he's saying. But the way that I heard it and that I was concerned if I was hearing it right is that, you know, moves at the trade deadline themselves are overrated and that there's, like, too much stock put in there. And I kind of get where he's coming from. But to some degree, it feels a lot like, well, this is not a useful, you know, time adding wise. And I don't like that as a perspective. Like, I don't buy that as a thought process, because if like there's various times to make your team better. And I feel like they all have their uses, right? I think when I was talking about this to you earlier or yesterday or something, it's like, all right, well, that's one of your tools, right? That's a hammer. You may not always need a hammer, but if you run across a nail, you need it, right? And so I don't know that the trade deadline is always the tool that you use to make your team better, but it is a tool that I don't want you to outrightly just not have in your tool belt at any given point. And so, like, the general idea that there's, you know, the trade deadline is much ado about nothing, I don't agree with. Whether or not he believes that, I really don't know what to do with
that. I can't imagine that he actually believes that.
I would hope not.
Because here's a guy that also, Figgy, one of the other things he often says is, we're always looking to make our team better.
There you go.
Always. And he knows the trade deadline has transformed teams. And you can even argue that trade deadline-ish transformed this team last year. Derek Barnett was claimed off of waivers in November last year. Derek Barnett was a big factor for this team down the stretch. So he knows it. So while maybe, you know, in this specific case, this particular year, he didn't find anything, I can't believe that he thinks it's much ado about nothing, because the teams consistently get better at the trade deadline. And it wasn't a trade, but he's gotten this team significantly better in November. All right. Shane Steichen said this week, Joe Flacco still gives the Colts the best chance to win. You buying or selling?
I buy that. Anthony Richardson is just so inconsistent, right? He's so developmental. Mm-hmm. And what they need right now, especially in a Shane Steichen system, where Shane Steichen helps his quarterbacks a whole bunch, is just make the right decisions. Who do you trust to make the right decisions? Consummate veteran, even though he is older, Joe Flacco, or Anthony Richardson, who is erratic, even though he provides some other really useful skills with his athleticism, those types of things.
Yeah.
Flacco's one. Yeah. Now, are they actually going to get the job done? Well, I wouldn't bet my money on that.
Yeah, but either way. The question, you know, him thinking that he gives the best chance to win.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I'm buying this too, man. And me personally, I do think he gives the best chance to win. I know the last game wasn't that good, but he was facing a Vikings defense that made this Texans team didn't look too good either.
No, I'm with both you guys on this. I'm buying it as well. Joe Kelly. Y'all remember Joe Kelly in these parts, don't you?
Boo this man.
He said this week that the World Series against the Yankees was, quote, a mismatch from the get-go. Our superstars care and are not lazy and play hard. That's the difference.
Ooh, who is that directed at?
The New York Yankees.
Yeah, probably, like, I don't know the Yankees, but
I think it's Gerrit Cole.
Well,
did he
Judge?
Face?
He was like, I don't know about Judge, Soto.
But Gerrit Cole did make a lazy play, though, that...
He sure did.
Oh, that's right.
That was a really lazy play, not covering first.
So did Joe Kelly face the, when he faced the Astros, was Gerrit Cole on that team too?
Ooh, I'd have to go back and see the timeline on that.
It seemed like that was kind of a shot at Gerrit Cole. Hell, it could have been the whole team, for real.
Maybe Judge, you know, the way he slumped and all that stuff, but that could have just been a slump.
Yeah, the tough part about this is, like, you got to sell it to some degree of just, all right, man, like, you don't get to the World Series just being lazy. However, you kind of buy it. Like, you kind of buy it, because, like, you're right. You have the Gerrit Cole, and then you just, I don't know if you can necessarily attribute this to laziness, but I imagine if you're a baseball player, maybe you can, just the way that you have a superstar in Aaron Judge be that useless. I can't really find a better word in the postseason.
Hey, I'm buying it too.
Like, there's a level of criticism. I don't know if lazy is exactly the word, and maybe that is just the shot, but there's definitely some criticism that you go, the mismatch of it, of those guys playing better compared to them Yankees.
Yeah.
All right. Still stinks, though. He stinks.
Let's go back to D'Amico Ryans. All right. D'Amico Ryans said the proper time to begin playing Christmas music is after Thanksgiving. First of all, are you buying that to be true?
That is, I buy that 100%. It is my single favorite holiday is Thanksgiving, which you will frequently hear me call. You will frequently hear me call food's birthday, because it does feel like a celebration of food.
It is.
Which makes it the best.
Mm-hmm.
And so give it its due. I know there ain't no Thanksgiving music, but hey, man, wait. But then that feels like that is the next, that is on ramp. And the next big holiday after that is indeed the time period where Mariah Carey makes a whole bunch of money. But yeah, at least give it some time.
I buy it 100%. Day after Thanksgiving is maybe a day or two even before, because Thanksgiving sort of marks where it's happening. You know, it's officially the holiday season.
Yeah, I was going to say maybe the Thanksgiving or the day before, somewhere around there.
Yeah.
You can hear some around the parade and all that. So that's max.
Yeah. I just don't get, and look, people are built different. People kind of enjoy things in different ways. I get that. But personally, I don't understand the folks that don't get tired of listening to Christmas music consistently. And I guess it's
all the time.
Yeah, that's the thing, right? Yeah. I guess the different thing for me is not as much when you start.
I get tired of this.
But it's the frequency. Right? It's the frequency, man. It's like, people are like, yeah, I started listening to Christmas music after Halloween. And then it's just like all Christmas music.
Yeah, that's too much.
For like two months. Yeah. Like, you listen to two straight months of Christmas music exclusively?
And turning up,
and everything starts sounding the same, man.
Yeah.
It's like, I just heard this song.
Yeah, there's only so many, right? You hear them sung by different people, but it's only so many Christmas songs.
She makes $6 million a year just on this song.
I can't blame her.
They play it a month. They play for about a month.
God bless her.
$6 million a year.
I mean, I also would lean very much into a thing that made me $6 million a year.
Yeah, I think so.
I've become a strictly Christmas artist.
Man. All right, I got another couple for you here. Bob Costas. Bob Costas said he's retiring from baseball play-by-play. It was his own decision because, quote, he started to hit below his lifetime batting average. Number one, do you think it was his own decision?
Yeah, by that. Bob Costas has been out here still calling baseball while not like frequently being in baseball. Mm-hmm. Bob Costas is Teflon in these streets, man. Bob Costas does what he basically wants to do.
I think somebody made a call.
I think I'm torn on this one because part of me is like, consummate professional, legend, doesn't need the criticism. He might just say, you know what, I have hit below my lifetime batting average, I'm out. And he's a legend, and I really like Bob Costas, but he has an enormous ego, man.
He does.
He has a big, big
ego.
But
I think that also falls in the other place where he goes, man, I'm not feeling at the same level. And you understand this as being somebody who like has some competitive in you. It's just like, hey, man, if I don't feel like I'm holding up my standard, why do this? Especially when you're parachuting in.
That's
right?
Why
like,
I'm
you're
torn.
Not doing this all the time.
I'm going to land on...
I'm buying it.
I buy it.
I buy it, man. Yeah.
Biggie?
I got to sell this, man. I got to sell. I think, to me, when I seen this, I looked at it as a mutually parted ways type thing. So I think they probably had a conversation, and maybe, I don't know who, maybe the company said, hey, we think we're going to go in a different direction, but we ain't gonna fire you or nothing like that. But if you step away, we'll let you do other stuff, but not play-by-play.
All right, one more, and it has another Houston twist to it. So Stephen A. Smith, who actually was broaching the topic of running for president, and I'm like, sure, why not? Everybody else does. Right. Okay. But, I mean, you know, I wouldn't be surprised, put it that way. But that's not where we're going here. So he was relaying the story about Daryl Morey and why Daryl Morey and Tillman Fertitta parted ways, got fired, whatever you want to call it. He said that Morey, that one of the things that irked Tillman Fertitta was that Morey would show him some analytics after a tough loss, especially in the postseason. And the analytics said everything that happened, everything that, you know, leading up to the game, meant that the Rockets should have won that game. He said that Morey would show Tillman the analytics and tell him, see, we actually won, even though they actually lost the game on the scoreboard. You buying that?
That he would do that?
That he would do that?
Absolutely, I buy the hell out of that.
Biggie?
Like...
That is hilarious to me, man.
That is so Daryl Morey. Like, that's the thing about Daryl Morey that's tough is that he leans so heavily into the numbers that at times, frequently, in fact, I wonder, does he realize that there's the people element to this business?
There's a scoreboard.
Not just is there a scoreboard, there's a people element to this business.
These are humans.
Yeah, man. You gotta worry about the people.
These ain't robots.
Everything that happened, we actually won.
And so the tough thing about that is, like, that's being so process-driven that you forget the results.
Yeah.
There's still results that you have to answer for in this business. So the process got to drive to that. It can't be all process.
Not only am I buying that, I can confirm. Someone has told me the
really?
Same thing.
Really?
Yes. Someone who is no longer with the Rockets told me the same thing.
Hey, just imagine after a loss, you sitting there like, man, I can't believe
all the data says we won.
Don't worry about it, man. We won that game.
I know we going home from the playoffs, but we actually won this game.
That game.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. We are technically actually the champions.
When someone told me, I thought it was like, come on, he wouldn't
like,
even do it.
I would be like, dude, get your, pack up your office, man.
and that, you know where that falls into? It falls into a category that I lovingly call, ain't nobody trying to hear that.
Yeah.
Right? Like, you could think that to yourself. It's like, man, we did all the things that we were supposed to do. I'm happy that
the numbers the way say that we
played.
Won.
I like the way that we played.
Yeah.
Don't tell nobody that. Ain't nobody trying to hear that, man.
Right.
You will get laughed at.
You know what? Give me a ring then.
Yeah.
Where's my ring?
Yeah,
man,
where's
since
my ring?
We won.
Yeah.
Good old Daryl Morey.
Yep.
All right. That's a little buy or sell. Gosh, I can't believe he's selling that. right here in the loop on Sports Radio 610. All right. Coming up next, as we continue to get ourselves ready for Texans Lions that'll happen on Sunday, what's more likely to happen? We'll go through some various scenarios on what's more likely to happen in this game as we start to get ourselves in that mindset, and we'll do it next.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.